sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour here on this Friday, August 7th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Every Friday from 10 to 11 for years now, Pastor Chatfield has come up with a history lesson, something to do with history, something to do with the Bible, something to do with our Constitution. Always ends up with current events, hopefully at the end of the lesson. Today, he texted me this morning, General Douglas MacArthur versus President Harry Truman. Harry, is it Harry S. Truman, Pastor Jeffield?
Correct, Harry S. Truman. And just S, too. That's a controversy. That was exactly what his middle name was.
It did not mean Stephen. Yes. It didn't have any name to it. It was just the letter S.
Yes, although there's different stories about all that.
Right.
You know, here's the thing, when you just dig some into history, and by the way, digging into history is so much easier than it used to be. Just unbelievable.
Now, you can ask your phone now. You just yes. push the button and ask them and comes up with the whole thing.
Okay, so I was at Central Michigan University writing a thesis. You had to spend 2 days at the Clark Historical Library. I mean, hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, just finding the resource material that you need to write a paper. And that's just the beginning. You'd get a book just to look at the bibliography. Then you'd have to go to what they used to call a card catalog, where you would go and look up the books, and then you'd have to wade through things. It's just finding the information. What used to take hours takes only seconds to do it. Now, that said, boy, you got to be careful, because there's a lot of information and there's a lot of disinformation. It's tricky. So there you go. It's just the way it is. And I will say, it's because I've done this so long, I think, anyway, that I have a sense. They say, well, I don't buy that completely, especially when you look at something like this, the controversy between Douglas MacArthur and Harry Truman. Okay, so Harry Truman, 33rd president of the United States. He was born in Missouri in 1884, whereas MacArthur, a little bit older, he was born in 1880. And Truman was just a kind of a farmer. He was a local politician, a judge who never went to college, let alone a law degree. Harry Truman, the last president to be elected having no degree, never gone to college. Now, by the way, don't think that he was ill-informed, because I read a biography by David McCullough about Truman, who he kind of made it his goal to read every book in the library. I mean, he was a tremendous reader and well-prepared, but he was had the reputation as a just kind of a political hack. He was from Missouri. He was a party man. He was a Democrat. True. And Henry Walsh was the VP in 44, but FDR chose him to replace him. He'd only met with Roosevelt just two or three times. And then next thing you know, Roosevelt has a brain aneurysm and dies. And he is thrust into the presidency. Most people thought that he was a lightweight. I don't think that's fair. He wasn't college educated, but extremely well-read and had a lot of common sense. I'll give you that about Truman. We'll talk about MacArthur on the other side.
Sounds good. Harry S. Truman, the president right after Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Short break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From noble new tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
We've all heard about the major systems in our bodies, like the digestive, respiratory, nervous, and cardiovascular systems. But there's one essential system discovered in the 90s that you probably never heard of. It makes all of the other systems work smoothly with each other, like a conductor ensuring the different sections of an orchestra all play a beautiful symphony together. This system is called the endocannabinoid system. It has been acknowledged and studied by scientists extensively with support from the National Institutes of Health. As we age, the system weakens. As a result, the different systems in our body stop working together smoothly. That's one of the reasons older adults struggle with pain, inflammation, cognitive decline, and other ailments of aging, for which doctors often prescribe dangerous and addictive pharmaceuticals. But here's the game changer. The system can be restored faster using hemp-derived CBD. When the system is restored, pain subsides, sleep is improved, and stress is reduced. When the system is restored, disease progression can slow down, and years are added to your life, as well as years spent in good health. And 20% of seniors are already using CBD today for pain, arthritis, cancer symptoms, sleep disorders, Alzheimer's, and many other ailments of aging.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people, and even our pets, have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana, and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield, General Douglas MacArthur versus President Harry S. Truman. And Pastor Chatfield, Truman, like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he was a Democrat, right?
Correct. And this controversy, I can't discern any as far as economic policy, Truman was a New Deal Democrat. There's no getting around that. After he became president, he wanted to expand the New Deal, and Democrats, Republicans succeeded. So it is way far expanded, obviously. But the controversy really didn't have, I don't think, anything to do with that. Truman was a plain spoken, cussing a man that he loved to gamble. He loved to play cards, plain. But here I always jump to the end. He had an ego too. He had an ego. Ego. Now, MacArthur had a different background completely. MacArthur was born in 1880, son of a Civil War hero, went to West Point and became the superintendent of West Point, was brilliant, and he was a five-star general, and he was very theatrical. He had a huge ego. Everybody that knew MacArthur knew that he had a huge ego. And there's no question about that. He was a good speaker, impeccable timing. He always positioned himself to get some credit, and he had strong beliefs. He served as civilian commander in the Pacific region. He'd have conflicts and disagreements with Nimitz about island hopping, and he had his own plan. But eventually, I mean, he won. I mean, he's famous for this quote, and we've talked about it. He was in charge of the Philippines when Pearl Harbor happened, and they were just undermanned. And FDR ordered him to evacuate. They sent a submarine in to evacuate him. On March 17th, 1942, he famously said, "I shall return." And then on October 20th, 1944, "People of the Philippines, I have returned." He came back. Then after the war, he was presided over the Japanese surrender in the summer of 1945, famously saying, "These proceedings are ended. And let us not lose, and let's keep in peace what we gained in war." Then he became the Supreme Allied Dictator, I suppose, governor of Japan after the war. And he basically ran Japan, and the Japanese learned to love him. He didn't govern like a president. He governed like a military occupier, and he did it well, and all the Japanese liked him. He was very popular in Japan. The Japanese didn't expect things to be so good after World War II, and all the Japanese liked him. Both Truman and MacArthur were anti-communist, but when the Korean War broke out in June of 1950, MacArthur became the head of the Allied, or in this case, the UN forces. And this was a lot of back and forth in the Korean War. MacArthur did a famous amphibious landing of an Incheon. He went around the Korean Peninsula, landed at a spot, an amphibious landing that people thought he couldn't do, and he drove the North Koreans out of South Korea, drove them into North Korea, drove them right up to the border of China. And some of the advisors of Truman says, "Do you think that China's going to intervene?" And MacArthur says, "No, they're not going to intervene. They wouldn't dare intervene." But they did. They sent 300,000 Chinese across the border and drove the Americans back south of the 38th parallel. Then we drove them back north again. There was a lot of back and forth. And in communications between MacArthur and Truman, MacArthur is saying, I got to have permission to go in there and bomb the bases in China. They will back down. We cannot let this stand. We can't just go for a settled peace. We've got to defeat them." One of his his most famous sayings was this. He says, in war, there's no substitute for victory. And this back and forth argument between not just Truman, but also the Joint Chiefs of Staff was MacArthur wanted to go into China and completely win the war. But the Joint Chiefs, along with Truman, says, no, we don't want to risk bringing China full-fledged into the war and even possibly the Soviet Union. And the Joint Chiefs, they agreed with the strategy of Truman. Omar Bradley, who was there at D-Day in Europe and knew MacArthur, said this about MacArthur's strategy. He said, it's the wrong war in the wrong place at the wrong time and with the wrong enemy. The president and the Joint Chiefs thought Europe was more important than Southeast Asia, or in this case, East Asia, Korea, the Korean Peninsula, and says, we don't want this war expanded. We will settle for a negotiated settlement. And that just really rubbed MacArthur the wrong way, and he argued with him. But then he went public, wrote a letter to some congressmen saying this is a wrong policy. They read it in, he read it in Congress, and then this looked like insubordination. And eventually, Truman fired him. Just as simple as that. He wrote this April 11th, 1951. With deep regret, I've concluded the General of the Army, Douglas MacArthur, is unable to give his wholehearted support to the political to the policies of the United States government. Okay. And that's why then I had to fire him. He's been relieved of duty. And the communication of that did not work well because MacArthur was informed of this at 3 o'clock in the morning. I read, and by the way, here's another example of, I read somewhere that that he was awakened at 3 a.m. By one of his officers that was on his staff and says, you've been relieved of duty. That's what's being reported. And according to one source, he says, orders are orders. We'll obey the president's directive. But others said he didn't say that, so I don't know. You can figure that out if you want. Did he actually say it? I don't know. But that is the way it is. He was fired. He comes home, and basically, virtually the whole country thought he was a great hero. And I think I can say this with some confidence. MacArthur massaged that. He took advantage of that. He had his ego. He liked the idea. I mean, when he got to, he flew into Hawaii, and there were tens of thousands of people near the airport welcoming him back in Hawaii. And the same is true when he flies back to San Francisco. He goes to New York City and gets a ticker tape parade where there's 7 million people, the largest parade ever for an individual, 7 million people lining the streets. He's hailed as a great hero. He had been to the United States in a long time. I mean, he never had come home. It'd been 14 years since he'd been to the United States. And he was a hero. Whereas Truman was viewed as just a political weakling. You won't let this hero win the war. And you're so weak and so insecure, you fired him over it. That's what a lot of the Americans believed. Now, and so MacArthur came to the joint, he was invited to speak at a joint session of Congress, and a farewell address. He says, old soldiers never die, they just fade away. He again said, in war, there's no substitute for victory. This is where he said his duty, honor, and country. And he said, you know, I've done my duty the best that I can discern to do it. He was a real hero. Now, that said, then there began to be a little bit of pushback from some of the Democrats in Congress. At the time, Truman's approval rating fell to 21%. since they started taking approval ratings, that's the lowest ever, 21%. Even most Democrats didn't support him. And by the way, when he was given that speech, Truman said, bull manure. It's a bunch of bull manure. I won't say the word, but that's what he called it. And the Joint Chiefs, best I can discern, they were with Truman, especially George Marshall. Now, he was, by this time, he was the Secretary of Defense. He was the architect of the Marshall Plan. He was a general during World War II. He was the only person in the military that even approached the popularity of MacArthur. And so during these hearings, he goes and tries to explain the administration's logic. Basically, he said this, you know, look, we can't fight two wars. If we do this, we really get into a war with China, we're going to have to commit our resources to that war, and then we leave Europe vulnerable because the Soviets had all sorts of people in East Germany. We cannot do both, and it's not worth the risk. This could lead to World War III, and we don't want World War III. And so after he explained it, then the polls evened out a little bit that maybe Truman did the right thing. As far as Truman was concerned, I think this is true. He says this is not just about strategy. This is about our constitutional system, that we have civilian control of the military. And he said that privately, what MacArthur was doing was rank insubordination. You cannot get out there in the public and disagree with the president. You can't do that. Now, and so, you know, he argued that this is even larger than risking World War III. This is risking our Constitution. This man has to be relieved of his duty. And it wasn't handled well. There was a leak, surprise, surprise, in Washington, and it hit the press before MacArthur was informed himself, which is not a good way to fire somebody, but it is what it is. And so this debate has been going on in history ever since. Who was right? Who was wrong? It depends on who you listen to. From everything I know about human beings, I got to believe that it's somewhere in the middle. Yes, Truman was soft-spoken, but he had an ego too. He was the president of the United States. He wasn't going to let a general ignore his orders or undermine what he was trying to do. Whereas MacArthur believed that we had to win this war. We can't go into a war and not win it. You can't go into a war and just simply try to containment be your only goal. By the way, that's what happened. Now, in the end, the 38th parallel was restored, and there it sits, the ceasefire that was finally agreed upon when Eisenhower became president early in 1953. It's the same ceasefire that we've got now. We've never had a treaty. There's been no treaty, just a ceasefire. That's all we've got and had since 1953. Do the math, 70 years or however long it is. And so there it sits. We'll talk about this more on the other side.
Absolutely. Got a couple of text messages also from listeners. We'll get to those right when we get back. Appreciate you guys sending the comments. Short break, bottom of the hour news. We'll be right back.